It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
What is the Libertarian Party? When did the party form? And how do their politics differ from other political parties? We'll answer all of these questions and more on this edition of Getting Schooled. I'm Abby Hornacek. So, with the midterm election season on the horizon, I thought it would be a good idea to take a look at a political party we often hear about, but might not know too much about. Libertarians are on the ballots, but you won't see them at a debate. Some notable libertarians you might have heard of are Clint Eastwood, Fox News's very own Kennedy, Kat Timpf. So what are the core beliefs of libertarians? How large is the party, and how are libertarians paving their way into the mainstream political sphere? Joining me now to break it all down is Whitney herself. Whitney, thanks so much for coming on.
Hi, Abby. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, of course. Well, I'm so excited because, you know, we talk a lot about Democrats, Republicans, but there's also libertarians. And that's what we're talking about today. So what is a libertarian?
Yeah, there are definitely also libertarians. Libertarians are a lot of people are confused about what we are. You know, a lot of people think we're in the middle between the left and right, between conservatives and liberals, or Republicans and Democrats. That's actually not at all true. We are a separate and distinct entity from them, and our ideology and philosophies are quite different. What it mostly boils down to is that we believe in the principle of, don't hurt people and don't take their stuff. And we expect the same from our government, which is quite different from what Republicans and Democrats expect from their government. We just believe that every individual has the right to make their own choices in life without interference from other individuals or from other people through the government. We all kind of understand the left-right spectrum, and most people tend to see that as a one-dimensional situation where you're either on the left or the right, conservative or liberal. Well, the libertarians bring a second axis into this mix. So if you kind of spin that on its side, you'll get authoritarian and libertarian. And so you can have this more diamond shape where you've got these four quadrants, and you have a section of authoritarianism where you can be both left or right. And then you have the libertarianism, which is the opposite of the authoritarianism. And you can still have some left-right gradients in there. And so that's kind of how we sort of condense, our views on things, is just putting forth the utmost individual liberty and doing away with as much government interference and control as we possibly can.
I see. So you are a politician. Why did you choose the Libertarian Party?
For me, at first was just suited my personal approach to the way I live my life. Even as a young person, I was very resistant to authority. And, I wanted to understand why people felt they needed to attempt to control me. And it was just something I resisted for a long time. And then I was an educator for 20 years and, started seeing in that environment, how much we use oppression and control to manage other people and to sort of dictate their behaviors and what we want them to think and do and feel and how we want them to act. And it just, as I got older, it just, continued to be something that really, really was a struggle for me. And when I was working on one of my master's degrees, I was doing a bunch of research on the USA Patriot Act, and that was the thing that just like put me over the edge. Prior to that, I had just been politically homeless. Neither party represented me. The candidates who ran for office never represented me. And, I found myself voting in protest most of the time. And then the USA Patriot Act came about, and just, learning what I did from that, you know, in the early 2000s, that really just kind of, it just sent me this direction. And I found the political party that I belong to, and it's my home now. So,
so if you say, okay, so you might've been resistant to authority and, you know, you say that everyone individual, freedoms and the right to make their own decisions, how would it work then? When I think about just in general, no authority, or if there's a question and people don't agree, how do you manage the chaos that would happen? Do you believe that there would be chaos if we didn't have an authority?
So I think that, first of all, I want to make it clear that there's, at least speaking for myself, there's no intention of going from like what we have now to absolutely no government. Like that's, that is an extreme.
That would be that scary.
None of us are prepared for. I don't believe that there would automatically be chaos. There are environments where people can be ungoverned or self-governed and function perfectly well and civilly. And, you know, there's no reason why we couldn't still have means of adjudicating disputes and conflicts. And we still can have rules and consequences for actually victimizing people, for actually doing harm or for taking people's stuff. Because remember I said, like, that's the thing. The rules, as far as we're concerned, should be as simple as don't hurt people and don't take their stuff. So if indeed members of a community are doing those things, then sure, there should still be, you know, you can still adjudicate that and still have consequences for it. So I don't think that it automatically would lead to chaos. I think what we're talking about here is, from a libertarian perspective, is doing away with the aspects of government that are intrusive, that are tyrannical, that are essentially force, and in most cases, undue force. You know, whether it's through education or monetary policy or, you know, laws that make things crimes, even though there are no victims. That's the kind of thing that we really like to focus on, is just eliminating to every extent we can, you know, where feasible, government and the control they have in our lives and taxation, like removing that element of force from society and from the environment we live in.
Mm-hmm. So when you say doing away with aspects of government that are tyrannical law or laws that make things a crime where there are no victims, can you just give a few examples, maybe something that you're passionate about that you see as maybe a law that is a crime where there are no victims, or, you know, in ways that our government can be the way that you don't want it to be?
Yeah, I mean, that's an easy one. I think, you know, personal drug use laws, you know, those kinds of things are criminalizing the use of marijuana, for example. You know, people are in jail for literally consuming a plant, and people's lives are ruined over the criminal prosecution of this, not necessarily the substance itself. So that is one simple example, you know, where there are things that just shouldn't be against the law. Because you're not helping the person by putting them in prison for years and years and years just because they were, you know, smoking a plant. So
okay.
That's a simple example.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I also am curious because like libertarianism is this political philosophy that you kind of mentioned. It upholds this liberty as a core value. Mm-hmm. And I look at the parties that we do have. And, you know, I know a lot of people on both sides that everybody wants liberty. Everybody wants freedom. So what sets libertarians apart and makes them different where they want this freedom as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it's kind of a running joke in our party that we can get accused of, you know, you're not a real libertarian if you don't get accused in the same day of being just a Democrat who hates taxes or a Republican who wants to legalize marijuana. We will get the same, you know, the same those two distinct accusations within the same conversation, even at times, because people just don't really understand how we're different. We actually see Republicans and Democrats as being more like each other than we are like either of them.
Really?
They are both on the spectrum in the authoritarian realm, just different flavors of authoritarianism. You know, the right-leaning type gets you more government control over social and personal matters, whereas the left-leaning type gets you more government control in our systems and our institutions, like, you know, financial systems or education systems. And libertarians just generally reject authoritarianism of any kind. And we believe that solutions to our common problems, government doesn't have to be the right answer. And we've seen for generations now that it's not the right answer. It is severely flawed and it is extremely expensive as well. So another big difference between us and the old parties is also a reason that we don't get invited to debates. The old party candidates can't point at us and lay blame on us for anything. They can't call libertarians out for expanding government or increasing taxes or administering failing agencies and programs, but they can certainly point at each other's contributions to the current state of things and very fairly blame each other. So that's one way that we are different, is that we government is not the answer to everything, and that free market solutions often are better and more cost effective. And, so we're also different from the old, not only distinctly different from the old parties, but we also differ from the other new parties as well, in that we actually get 50 state ballot access, 50 plus mm-hmm. ballot access. And so you will see libertarians up and down your ballot, no matter where you live.
Has a libertarian ever won a presidential election?
No.
Why do you think that is?
Not a presidential. We're relatively new, first of all. And we also have a huge, and of course, I would want to say thank you, Abby, for giving us this opportunity. You know, there's a lot about the Libertarian Party that people do not know. And part of that is because we get media blackouts a lot of times. You know, we're not even allowed into polls, much less debates, especially at those levels, at the federal level. So we either don't get we don't get opportunities with media. We obviously have legislative issues. You know, everywhere we go, every state we're in, the legislatures are constantly, every term, every session, trying to create more legislation that keeps us off the ballot. So it's just been a constant uphill battle with not only just breaking into the political system, because it is this, the duopoly has such a stronghold on it. It is not designed or operated, I guess I should say, in a way that is open and welcoming to third parties. And it absolutely limits the voter's choice. And that is intentional. And we see that in some of our legislatures, our state legislatures, where it is intentional that they are trying to limit the choice that voters have. So I just think that, it's like this, there are a lot of components that go into it, a lot of things that we have to be able to overcome, and also just educating voters about the fact that we're here, and, getting us some equal time would be really nice. So again, thank you for inviting us on.
Well, yeah, I mean, that is a real thing, because as you mentioned, it is a newer party, and I know a few libertarians, and I love to ask them questions because I like to see kind of where their mind is at and why they chose to go in that direction rather than one of the traditional parties. So I respect you being able to come on here and kind of explain more. So if you had an opportunity, just if, let's say, 7 trillion people were watching this or listening to this, that would be great, right? If we had that many people. If a lot of people were listening and you had that platform, what would you tell the listeners about the Libertarian Party that they might not know? Or how would you explain it to them to have them go, okay, maybe that is what I want to be?
Yeah, I think that, the bottom line is everything we stand for and support comes down to promoting individual rights and limiting or eliminating government authority, intrusion, control, taxation, and then excessive spending, obviously, wherever possible. And, we are, I guess, three main things that I would like for people to know is we are the only party of peace. Whether it's from local community policing that we think should return to more peacekeeping and away from adversarial militant law enforcement, all the way to, a foreign policy of non-interventionism and restraint, not policing the world and engaging in nation building. So we are the party of peace, the only one, we believe. We are the only party, truly, of bodily autonomy. We uphold bodily autonomy, the only party that believes that you should be able to make all the decisions about how you use, treat, heal, feed, and protect your own body. And obviously, we're the party of choice. We uphold the very dear principles of volunteerism, consent, and choice. We believe that our interactions with each other should always be voluntary and consensual. And we seek to remove any barriers to choice, whether it's in education, in our occupations, or even very importantly, in elections, which is something that we're constantly having to fight. You know, most people agree that what's happening in this country right now isn't working. Everywhere we turn, there are people just trying to get us. They're making us angry, trying to divide us, trying to scare us, just so that we can continue to vote for the same old thing over and over again. You know, and we really are the only party that offers a true alternative to all of that, which is all the fault of the duopoly.
All right, we've got to step aside for a quick recess, but we'll be back right after this.
Fox News Radio on demand on the Fox News app. Download the app and just click listen. When you swipe left, you can listen to your favorite Fox News talk shows live. Swipe right for the latest Fox News Radio newscasts on demand. Fox News Radio on the Fox News app. Download it today.
What are the next moves for libertarians? You say, you know, you need to get the word out more about who you guys are and things like that. What would be your next step?
Well, I mean, we've got our convention, our national convention coming up, and that, you know, so then for the next 2 years, we'll be gearing up toward the next presidential election. So we'll be looking to nominate our presidential and vice presidential nominees. Our states have already gone around and done their state conventions. And so they've got their 2022 candidates all lined up, and they're out in the world campaigning. And so we're going to turn our attention to them here very soon. And, you know, we've got over 300 elected libertarians around the country. And so we're just going to continue building on that. And we've had, you know, record setting years. We just celebrated our 50th anniversary. The party was founded in, 50 years ago in 1971, and just with a handful of people in a living room in Colorado. And now we are the third largest and fastest growing political party in the country. And we're just going to keep moving forward with that. And like I said, we've got over 300 elected now. We are hoping to have that many more, you know, coming up in the next cycle. And we're getting involved in pushing for things like, you know, our alternative voting methods. You know, you may have heard of approval voting and ranked choice voting. And so those are things that we've got a lot of our state affiliates. We are affiliated in every state. So we've got a state party organized and all the way down to county levels in most cases. And, you know, they're getting super involved in taking the lead on the alternative voting method approach and getting voters and constituents more familiar with these options, because it really does increase their choice and give them more opportunities for actually choosing people who represent them. Mm. And that, I think, we think is one of the ways that we can actually look forward to winning more elections, is by opening up these options and how voters actually get to vote. And so there's a lot of different projects that we're going to take on, and I'm pretty excited about the upcoming cycle, gearing up for the next presidential.
Yeah. What does 2024 look like for you guys? Who do you have?
I don't have anybody right now that I would name.
And we're so far away still, but
yeah, we've still got some time before people start declaring. And but we've got some opportunities, and really looking forward to having some good choices.
Something
should be some exciting times.
Right. Something you said actually intrigued me. You said that this started 50 years ago in a living room in Colorado. What is the history of this party?
Well, it actually was just a handful of people. We consider, I guess, the father of our party to be a gentleman named David Nolan. And people got together. There were some, it was really more of like an anti-war movement. Like I said, we are the party of peace. And so it came from that, and from, you know, that the government is consistently doing things that we consider to be abhorrent. You know, they're doing things, immoral things, unethical things, and in our name, because, you know, just by virtue of us being Americans, that we have to go along for the ride when the government decides to do things. And it was just so a way for people to sort of break away from that duopoly and make, you know, stake a claim to this more peaceful notion of living, and, you know, not violating the principle. We have a non-aggression principle as well that we subscribe to, where you just don't use force or violence or coercion against other people for political gain, or, you know. And so it was just a group of people who got together and sort of listed out these things that they believed in, and with the premise of it being individual liberty first and government absolute minimum.
So you
just evolved from there.
Right. So you, the school of thought is that you want less government, or if any, maybe none, no government involvement. What about when it comes to the law and law enforcement? What are your thoughts on that? Does that fall under the umbrella of, you know, being governed and being kind of told that this is what you need to do, or is it completely separate?
I think that, you know, there is still a place for what we'll call policing, right? There's still a place for having security and, you know, having people in the community that are meant for peacekeepers and protecting others. And, you know, when I was growing up, they were actually considered peace officers. That is how we knew them. Yes, we called them police and we may have called them cops, but the focus was not on the law enforcement. It was on the peacekeeping. And it has just, you know, grown into this just massive, like, militant police, you know, this policing. And it's so far removed from community policing in every way. And we just would really like to get back to police should exist for the purpose of protecting others and, you know, taking action when someone actually does commits what we would consider to be a true crime, which is hurting someone or taking their stuff. You know, and it's as simple as that for us, that beyond that, our police are being put in positions to, they have these severely adversarial relationships in their communities. And, you know, we're constantly at, you know, nationwide, just embattled with the police force. And it's because they have turned so far away from just, you know, keeping the peace in their communities. And it's gone so far above that.
Yeah.
I
think part of that, though, also has to do with the perpetrators, and kind of you look at what's happening recently. And I just watched a video of a police officer who had someone pretty much with their hands behind their backs, and he was acting in a very peaceful way. And the guy broke free, turned around, ran and started shooting at the police officer. So, you know, it kind of goes both ways, right? You obviously want them to act in peaceful ways, but then there are instances where they try to act peacefully, but then the perpetrator, because of certain laws, they act in a way that they're not really punished as harshly anymore for the things that they're doing. So it's definitely a balance, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, it's certainly situational, but at the end of the day, what I don't want is to be funding a system that kills people without due process, or kills people, period.
I think everybody wants justice, where justice needs to be served, for sure. So if you were to kind of wrap things up and just say the most important thing that people should know about libertarians, what would it be?
I feel like I kind of already touched on that. You know, you make the claim that everybody wants freedom. I think that that is true to a certain extent. I think that most people want freedom for themselves, but not necessarily for others. And I think that is one of the distinctions that can be made for libertarians, that we recognize that in order for us to be truly free, we have to extend that freedom to everyone. And so that I think is a huge distinction, and you know, it is fundamental to what we believe, and that means also giving people the freedom to think and say things that we also don't like or don't want to hear, which I don't think is true for people with other political ideologies. And so that's a huge thing for us. And again, we just, you know, right now during times of war, we just want to reiterate that we are the party of peace. You know, we are the anti-war party. And we want to open our arms to people who also believe these things. You know, if you are looking for something different, this is the party. And everybody says right now, what is it, like 67% supposedly of voters want a third option. Well, you've got one. It's we're literally on your ballots everywhere. So just look for us.
I do have one.
It's an easy place to go to find information. So
I do have one last question. What do you think it would take to get a libertarian elected as president?
Oh man. Well, I'm not actually a political strategist, so that's, that is definitely above my pay grade.
I mean, maybe there is no answer. I mean, maybe it's just because, you know, if 67% want a third option and libertarians are there, then what's the what do you think is the challenge?
I mean, just kind of going back to what I said earlier, you know, opening up the debates would be huge for us. And that may not be a problem anymore now that the GOP has left the CPD. But being able to be on those platforms, you know, being able to have the country, have voters hear from us the same way that they get to hear from one, from everyone else, from the, or from the other, the duopoly, you know, from the two, the old party candidates. There's no reason for us not to be there. Like we literally have ballot access in every state. So there's no reason for us not to be there. And so I think just having more of the voters start demanding these choices that they claim to want, you know, having them start demanding that and, you know, local media start paying more attention to our local candidates. And, you know, I think it's just going to be education and exposure and a level playing field, quite frankly, is what we need.
All right. Well, Whitney, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate your insight and hopefully our viewers learned a little bit about libertarians.
Thank you.
All right, if you missed anything from class, these are my office hours, and here are some top takeaways about the Libertarian Party. Number one, Whitney says the Libertarian Party is not a hybrid of either traditional parties. It's its own entity, and it boils down to don't take someone's stuff and don't hurt someone. That's how Whitney put it. Number two, the party, according to Whitney, was built on fundamentals of peace while still having roles for adjudicating conflicts. Which brings me to number three. They believe that the government doesn't necessarily have the right answer. There you have it. The Libertarian Party. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast. For more, you can go to foxnewspodcast.com. And don't forget to subscribe to this one on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen and leave us a review. This has been Getting Schooled with Abby Hornacek on the Fox News Podcast Network. Class dismissed.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey there, it's me, Kennedy. Make sure to check out my podcast, Kennedy Saves the World. It is 5 days a week, every week. Download and listen at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.